Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. Those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Every week I hear the minister talk about we have no future in this world, how there's no more jobs for us, how this world in which we strive to become more involved in starts to show more and more that it doesn't want us to be involved in it. So how do we, as a group, as a people, what do we do to come together to start building our own world? How do we build the economy for ourselves? How do we build dwellings, grow food? How do we do these things? Well, the question is, what stops us from doing these things? Is it the white man, or is it ourselves? Is it something, our inability or our lack of skills? Or is it our lack of desire, or our lack of wanting to work together, our lack of faith? So we're going to talk about that, some of that today. Tonight's show, reestablish the guilds and build in Africa. Dr. Ridgely Mumin. Dr. Ridgely is going to talk about how in Africa we had a guild system for training the young men, training them in the traditional family skills and the traditional family artisan arts and crafts. We don't have that. We don't have any traditional skills, or if we do, it's very few. We basically go get a generic education, a generic school, and go look for a generic job. Well, that's against our culture. That's against our future. So Dr. Ridgely is going to talk about that today. So remember, if you want to get in early, questions early, make comments early, press the 1 you dial now. You'll be the first one to be recognized in the queue. Or during the show, press the 1 And when the question and answer period comes up, you will be called upon to give your question or your comment. And here is Dr. Richley. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Oh, well, alaykum as-salam. How is my sound?
Excellent.
Okay. Praise be to Allah. I'm in the house because, you know, the air conditioning. Outside on the porch, it's still 98 degrees in the shade. It is called getting down into the upper 80s later on tonight. So hopefully this phone will hold up where we are presently at. First of all, thank you very much, Brother Carlton, for that introduction. And thank the minister for his introduction.
That's right.
Every beginning of every program. And you know, he said that this that you were trying to integrate into has no future. Now we see it. Before, we were waiting to see it. But now we see that this world, this country, America, is going downhill fast. And so now people are ready to listen properly. They heard it, but they had other things that they were more important for them to do than to separate. Now, last week, we had two brothers on the program. Sister Nyambe hosted them, and they were talking about working on developing a investment corporation to purchase land and build a community. And my thought, as I was listening to them, I understood that at least one of them was a truck driver, maybe both of them were over-the-road truck drivers. And that reminded me of the guild system in Africa before we were brought over here. The guild system was just not making pottery and making wooden statues and making beads. They had a guild system, a guild for building roads. They had a guild for building houses. They had a guild for building churches, monumental structures. There was a guild involved in making the Nile River. Hydraulics, surveying. These were construction. These were men and women, highly skilled. And they would pass that on from generation to generation, father to son, or to nephew, or mother to daughter, or auntie to niece. And it wasn't just how to bake a cake, but how do you make the flour. And it wasn't just from a bowl and pistol, and pistol, what do they call that thing? The thing that hammered in the bowl. No, we had water-driven mills. We had a millwright guild. Now, when they brought us over here, they didn't teach us nada. Okay? We were not swinging from trees. We were cutting down trees and building structures and equipment out of wood from trees. We weren't swinging from trees when they found us. This is why we have in Jews selling blacks. We found out from advertising that they were selling us as millwrights. Now, when I saw that word millwright, I had to look it up. A millwright is someone who is skilled in fixing anything and everything concerned with manufacturing. And the major thing that you have to do is mill your seed, your wheat, and your corn into flour so you can bake. Bread is a staff of life, but you don't grow bread. You grow wheat. And from the wheat, you have to mill it into flour from which you make your bread. Water power was used to turn the paddle of the wheel, and once you get something turning, you can hook any number of things to it. The only difference today is you don't see the wheel turning. You see a motor, and you see some things moving, but you don't really understand that you could do the same thing with a water wheel attached to different sets of gears and belts, and you can run a factory off of one water wheel if you have a swiftly moving river or stream to turn that paddle. When they came over, they burnt our wooden mechanisms, burnt down the buildings. So when I heard my brothers talking about getting people together to build a community, I said, why not get together as Muslim truckers, Muslims who are in the trucking business? When you are a trucker, over-the-road trucker, it doesn't matter where you live. You take jobs all over the country. You move freight all over the country. Then you move freight. Then you hopefully move freight to work your way back to your location. But you don't necessarily have to live in a particular location to be able to move freight. So I was thinking, why can't they get together, develop a guild of truckers, and look for a location to buy land and to live and to work together and eventually come together, a co-op type of trucking firm, and eventually build a trucking firm that has many, many trucks. But you got to come together somewhere. You're over the road, but you got to come back to some place so you can plan and build. So I thought about that, and then a brother called me a couple of weeks ago, and he had the idea. He's a software developer. He develops apps. Well, to develop apps or software, you don't need to be in any particular location as long as it got electricity and Wi-Fi. As long as it got electricity and Wi-Fi, you can operate your firm by developing and sending out to how, you know, your system of getting it paid for. You can do that from any place. You have your laptop with some electricity and Wi-Fi. So why don't you all, you app producers, you software developers, why don't you all develop a guild of tech people and then start synergizing on what you know to begin to come up with even better products, and then have a location where you all move to, and then you begin to not just write the software, but eventually make some hardware that you can manufacture and ship out. These are just ideas, but it's all based upon the coming together based on a skill set. Cities, most cities are not built for entertainment, except for Las Vegas. That was built solely for entertainment, gambling. Most places start off with some type of manufacturing, processing, farming, producing a commodity or commodities that they can sell elsewhere to pay themselves. And then once you have a major commodity or thing that you produce and sell and you make a profit, now you have money that you can pay somebody to cut your grass, to build your house, to paint your house, to fix your car. Now you can buy a car from your local brother and sister who has a car dealership. But you have to have some money. Now I'm going to read, you know, we've been talking about time to leave ever since Minister Farrakhan had his separation or death presentation for in Newark, I believe he had the atonement.
In Newark. Yes, sir.
In Europe, it was 2016, 2017, 20 what?
I think it was 2018.
2018? Okay.
Yes, sir.
When did we start the time to leave? 2017. I thought, 2017.
Yeah,
we started the time to leave in 2017. Right.
That's right.
After he did that speech. And before we started the time to leave, Blog Talk, our committee, I asked the minister, could we do that? He said, well, yes, you can have your Blog Talk. He said, but Allah is going to make us separate. So now we're seeing that sooner or later it's going to be roll up your sleeve or leave. Homeschool your child or we're going to stick your child with some needles. So it's coming to Allah through the enemy producing a situation that's so horrific that now we finally hear the minister in terms of separation. So in thinking about why people move, I said, let me go check out Google and on why people move. And I found an article called Top Reasons People Move, and it was on Allied Van Lines website. And the Allied Van Lines, as you know, moves people. That's how they make their money. So it would be interesting or wise to ask them, why do people move? So I'm going to present to you that some of that information, and then we might want to open up for questions after that. Now, according to this article, January 23rd, 2018, nearly 60% of the population moves every year. 60%. The majority of those moves are local, to a new house in the same metro area or to a better apartment in the same city. But when we talk about long-distance moves, there are three main reasons people move and two secondary reasons. According to this article, first is family reasons. Many people move to be closer to family, and some probably move to put distance between themselves and family. A lot of the reason people move to be closer to family is support. Whether that's grandparents moving to be closer to young grandchildren or adult children moving to provide support to aging parents or some other variation. When families need to support each other, they'll relocate to do it. Next, jobs and careers. Young people move to large metro areas to start their careers, and seasoned professionals move for career advancement. It's not surprising that the magnet the people are moving to and away from shows areas with booming job markets like Texas, North Carolina. In other words, people are moving to areas that have large or booming job markets like Texas, North Carolina, and Florida, gaining residence. While you know, I really hate the damn computers because they have a way of shutting down on you right when you need it the most. But suffice it to say, that, and then another reason people move is for, let's say, livability. Well, the problem with that is that even if you move because of is a better situation or is less, or cost of living is less, you still want to move to an area where there are jobs. And this is the main reason that people who we have talked to in the time to leave movement, many could not leave the area they were in because of family situation. And the question always would come up, well, what are the job opportunities? You know, are there any jobs there? Well, there is jobs here, but there is a problem. This is not a job market area. So this is why I talk in terms of these guilds and of the type of skill sets they can make it anywhere. So I said truckers, I said software developers, and there's another big guild. That's the guild of retirees with pension and Social Security and savings. So they usually find those type of people, they move to a warmer climate and they just move there to enjoy the better climate, and they got the money. Well, we can set up a community in the South, in Georgia, in Terrell County, of retirees. And those retirees could then have money to spend and invest in a young person who wants to come up with a new idea, build a business, or just pay someone to cut their grass, to paint their house, to fix it, or to do other things, make them some clothes, or feed them at a restaurant because they got the money. So those are three. I'm sure there are many other ideas of that will a common factor. I know you all are believers. That's good. But it's got to have something a little bit more than that, because unless you move as a whole master study group, you don't know the people you're moving into with, and it's like a marriage. You're afraid to make that move to an area with people you don't know, because what happens is you can't get along. You know, but one thing will help you get along. That's called necessity. As America crumbles, and you realize that it's not good being far away from each other, just like right now, we're in the process of shipping out the staple goods to 85 cities from sea to shining sea. And now even in the sea, in St. Croix and in Bermuda. Well, we ship from California to Florida to Connecticut to Detroit, Chicago, to Houston, you know, all over the country, Denver. It's tricky trying to maneuver that to get stuff to you, because you all spread out. If we all were living in one state, like the Mormons in Utah, it would be much easier to service each other and to produce products and trade with each other. So there's no better solution other than separation on a piece of land that we can call our own, so that then we can do business, because business is life. We had businesses under segregation. We had to take care of ourselves. But they found out, the Jews found out that we was, hey, like a sister told me, that under segregation, her mama, when a new season came in, would go downtown and window shop at the big department stores that she could not go in and shop, but she would take a picture in her mind of what was going to be in style for that year and would go home and make it. So when prom season came, or church, or big any type of big event where you need to dress up, the black women were in style. And the Jews found out about that. So wait a minute. They feeding off us. They come in stealing our designs and remaking it at home so they look as good as the white girls in terms of the dress. Of course, better than the white girls. Anyway. But the point is that they wanted our money. We was getting away. So they knocked our communities down. They knocked our businesses down. Set up new malls and destroyed the segregation so that both the Goyim, the dark Goyim and the light Goyim. Goyim means cattle. So both the non-Jewish whites and the non-Jewish blacks can go and spend their money at the Jewish store in an integrated situation. But hell, we wouldn't benefiting from that, you know. But we lost. Same thing with schools. We didn't go to be sitting beside white people. We wanted to have better facilities, better books. But instead, they gave us a chance to look and be with the underclass, go around the outside, trailer park tramps, because they put schools onto their churches and pulled their children out of public school, the ones who had any money. But the poor ones, that's who we integrated with, made it with, lost our minds with. So now we lost our morals, we lost our businesses, and then one more thing before I open up to questions. I have a document in 1962 by the Committee for Economic Development called An Adaptive Approach. And I've talked about this before, but it's so important that you really got to get it. That they decided that they wanted to move the people away from farming, from agriculture. So they had some points, some plans. They said they would reduce prices, but give subsidies to the white farmers so that they could survive and the black farmers would not be able to survive because they would not get the subsidies. But then they did something even more wicked. We talk about building the guild system, but they knew how to destroy it. So they went about destroying the farming or agricultural system by which we would pass on teaching and training and even the property to the next generation. So what they did was offer scholarships to the children of farmers in anything but agriculture. In other words, they would not give them a scholarship to go study agriculture, but they would give them a scholarship to study engineering, social science, criminology, psychology, even medicine, but not farming. So then when the child got their degree, there was no place for them to go. They couldn't even go back home because the companies, there are no companies there who could hire them at what they would want to be paid. So they were sent all over the country away from their farm, family and farming, and completely away from their hometown, never to come back again except for a funeral, a homecoming, et cetera. So it was planned destruction of the farming system, and they have destroyed all of the guild system, the construction trades. They put stipulations in terms of being able to read and write before you could build a house. Well, many of these carpenters were able to do it without reading and writing. They just knew how to build. They knew how to measure, which many of us can read and write. We can't use a ruler. I was surprised to find some workers who came here and could not use a ruler. So what I am proposing is that we think in terms of skill sets and economics. What do you do? Hook up with other people who do that. And move close to one another so that you all can build on what you have and get bigger and better at what you do to be able to take over some territory, economic territory. You got to establish a trading post. In this case, you want to establish a post by which you can pass on information. When you go out in the rest of the world and see what the enemy is doing, like the Chinese did, stupid American companies went over to China, thinking that the Chinese go just give you some cheap labor and was not going to steal your ideas. You are a damn fool. Yeah, they stole your ideas. You had them working that cheap labor, but then they stole your ideas, so now they're producing products to compete with you. Too bad. We got to do the same thing. You got to be able to produce something. Okay? We can't be consumers forever. God consumes only because they need to consume so they can continue to produce. I'm going to repeat that. God consumes, but only for the reason to get the energy necessary to continue to produce. Gods don't live to consume, they live to produce, and they consume so that they have the energy to produce. We have to think like gods now, and not like consumers. And we came up out of slavery, we were thinking that way, and the enemy even studied that and said, we got to get black people to be more consumers. They're saving too much money. They're buying too much land. If we don't be careful, they're going to buy the South. I'm telling you what they said. This is the University of Minnesota. Studying us, realize that they got it. This is 1898. Studying us. So now they said, we got to get them people to be consumers. They're saving too much money. They're buying too much land. They're going to buy up the whole South if we don't divert them. So they lynched us, they burned us, and they gave us white women, and they sub the NAACP. They offered us jobs with the Ford Motor Company and other companies up north to pull us away from the land and to make us consumers. So now America has fallen. In the 1990s, she took her manufacturing and took it to Mexico and to China. And now China has the biggest economy until COVID-19 in the world, and was threatening America's hegemony until they were hit with that coronavirus, which set them back. But America is set back too, and I think China's going to get back before America get back. And while they are getting back, we need to get up. Let's reason together. Let's get together and talk about business. It's good to talk about the teaching. But then the next step is, once you got the understanding of who you are, who the enemy is, it's now what the hell you going to do about it. Business is warfare. We need to be in business so we can make fair war against our enemy, for our friend, and for our family for the future. So with that, I will open up if there are any questions.
Brothers and sisters, I know there's got to be somebody out there that's inspired a question that you've just been dying to ask. You've been waiting for somebody to bring this topic up. Now's your opportunity. Press the 1. You can make your comment, ask your question, while we still are at the halfway point of the show. Dr. Ridgely, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Before I formulate the question, I'm going to build the scenario up. When I first, not too long ago, I have skills that I have a strong desire to train the youth, to pass on in something similar to what you call the guild. Not too long ago, I started a class where I was teaching electronics and computer programming, and at the same time, I was actually training some brothers in Dawson how to repair bicycles. And so what I found was a couple of things. One, but the brothers that I was teaching bicycles, they were reluctant, but they didn't have nothing else to do, so they came. But their parents weren't supportive at all, in that their parents, if me and the preacher that I worked with didn't go drive around town looking for these brothers, they wouldn't come, and their parents wouldn't bring them. So what the service I was offering wasn't really appreciated by the parents. But the computer program thing, I've been trying to find a group of people I can teach computer programming and electronics, but that's difficult. Because I haven't found anybody who really, you know, sees the value of it, is willing to commit to, you know, taking their children, or, you know, someplace on a weekly basis or bi-weekly basis. By the same token, you know, our brother, the brother Imam in our area, he is a very skilled contractor of over 30-plus years. And I asked him, I said, so how many, brothers have you been able to train? I said, how many, have you been able to, duplicate yourself? He said, well, to be honest with you, I've tried that, but everybody I train, they don't want to stay with the program long enough. He says they get going, they learn a little bit, and they leave, and then they come back asking me how to do stuff. They don't want to stay with them to get the necessary skills. And he says that's happened on more than one occasion. So out of the 30 years or so, he hasn't been able to really say he trained anybody. Recently, I got hit in the back of my vehicle, and I had to find a search for a black body repair shop. And I found one, a brother that's been in Albany that's been doing it for 40 years, out of body. We hit it off real good. And so he's going to fix my vehicle. So I asked him the same question. I said, have you been able to duplicate yourself, pass the skill on to people? He said the same thing that man said. He said, I get somebody in there, teach them a little bit. They think they know it. They get my tools. They go do some stuff on their own. And next thing I know, their customer's coming to me talking about so-and-so messed their card up. He said he had one or two people that did real good, and one of them died out of 40 years. And so my question is this, Dr. Richley. Is this a problem that I'm describing? Is there a way around that? Are we going to be able to get this guild structure and teach people our own under the current circumstances, or do we have to wait till the white man's world starts to show that it's falling apart before people can appreciate learning skilled trades?
Yeah, it's going to be number two. Number two, our people have been spoiled. Do you know how many rappers there are in Albany?
How many what?
How many young rappers, young brothers and sisters who think they're going to make it big by being a rapper.
Okay?
I bet you find a whole lot more who are training to be rappers than are training to be a carpenter or auto mechanic, because that's not sexy. That's not going to make you super rich. They're not interested in doing anything except making money, looking pretty, being on stage, getting paid for acting stupid. So it's going to take COVID-19. This is why now homeschooling is becoming big, because they got to. Why? They didn't want to do homeschooling because they were worried that if they were trained homeschooling, then their child would not be able to socialize with white folk and not be able to get a job in a corporation. So we were living under the constructs of integration until now it ain't worth integrating no more, because the white man's world is falling apart. He ain't hiring. He's laying off. So now we're trying to figure this thing out. Well, when we went to the minister about having our time to leave a program, he said, well, that's fine, brother, but Allah is going to make us separate. And that's what we're seeing now. So the option is number two. But number two ain't far off.
Okay.
Right? It's falling apart. Black folks see it. They scared. And now they're trying to figure out what to do. So when they get scared enough and hungry enough, they're giving away food. They want to keep them strung out a little bit longer. They're giving away food. But when the giveaway food program goes and the SNAP program and the food prices are going up like they're going up now in the grocery stores, and they realize they're about to die, then they'll be looking for a solution. Unfortunately, that's what it's going to take. But the wide awake man, the wide awake man and woman should already know that, and therefore not have to wait until the fire is at the door. They should already be preparing for the next world that we are supposed to be building.
Thank you
for that question.
Yes, sir. And we got a caller. Looks like his sister, Ann.
Oh, let me say something. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
Let me say one more thing. I had a young brother, I'm not going to give his name, who came here as an apprentice at the farm a number of years ago. Since that time, he's gone on to get an undergraduate and a master's degree, and he's talking about working for a corporation. I'd cuss his ass out over the phone.
Man,
I said, man, I told you to come back here. We're going to have something for you. But I ain't got the money. I said, you just give me the proposal. I'll get the money. All right? But again, You can't train them because what? We can't offer them the amenities and the money that the white man can. So when the white man can't offer them nothing, then they have to come home. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Next question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Is that Sister Ann?
Yes.
Assalamualaikum. Sister Ann is my boss. She's the president of the Staple Goods Corporation, Cooperative Corporation. I'm the vice president. Yes, ma'am. At your bidding.
Okay. Now, what I wanted to say is coinciding with what Brother Carlson said. What we have to do when we find people who say they want to work, I know right now we don't have the time to do like employee training and so forth, but we're going to have to put in place some kind of training program, and you got to talk straight to them. Let them know that we know you are going to have problems working for a black person. Just be straight up and take them through a procedure that they're going to have to go through in order to work. But we right now we don't have what we're doing now. We don't have the time to do that. But at some point we're going to have to set aside time in order to do that. Because you see what we have here coming to work, we have people who they call us. They know like clockwork when things are going to be happening at the farm, when we're going to be planting, when we're going to be harvesting, like the watermelon season. They start calling. We don't have to look for them. They start calling. But the kind of employees we're getting, they get one paycheck, and we may not see a Monday, Tuesday. And we have to begin to address that. I don't know if it's going to work with lost found people, but we have to somehow address it. And this may be even Muslim workers. We have to address that. So I want to know your thoughts on that.
For me?
Yes.
Well, remember what I told you. We trained some apprentices, and my star pupil, we even went to his graduation at Abraham Baldwin. Then he went on University of Georgia, and I told him I'm going to put him on blast if he don't give us a chance to use his services first. So I told him, you write a proposal of what you need to run this type of operation that we sent you to school to learn. So we'll see what he do. But the point is, as long as the enemy can offer people $50,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 jobs coming out of college, all right, it's going to be hard to compete unless they are revolutionary type, like you and me, who don't give a damn about the paycheck, the amenities, because we have a vision. But not many people have a vision, except for the things of this world. And many of our young people who go through the MUI or even homeschooling, because he was homeschooled, when they get out there in that white man's world in college and they get the taste of sin, of foolishness, of recklessness, immorality, but money, we lose them because they're not revolutionaries, they're consumers with a skill. And so the teachings are the key, but you got to have belief and not just repeat. Like I said, I want to be a god, not an employee. But that's the difference. I wanted that ever since Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me that I'm supposed to be that. But most of us don't want to go through that process of being completely free and independent and a god. We just want to drink beer and have babies and go party every now and then. But the party every now and then and play has been taken away. So now people are looking for another way. So we keep plugging at what we're doing. But once a person, and I'm gonna say this here, we have to get them before they get into sexual activity. Because once they get into sexual activity, all they want to do is satisfy those urges. We have to get them in the revolution and even get them married early. Because once they go to college, and sometimes just even in high school, there's so much play and fornication going around, so much free sex, that that just satisfies the base urges, and that's it. They run after that from now on. But I agree with you. It's got to be done.
Yes, and you just said something that made me think why the messenger said 75% of the work is with the female. Now, we as women, we take that and we run with it, thinking we got more to do in this than anybody, than the man or anybody. But now I'm getting a new understanding of that. You just said there's so much free sex out there. Well, it takes two to tango. Well, we know nowadays, you know, that could be two males or two females. But traditionally, there was male and female. So until we can get a hold of that female, and we see it. We see it every time we go out. We see it on TV all the time, where they're loose, their morals are gone, it seems, and even on social media. You know, they post these revealing pictures and sisters pouting their lips. We got to get a hold of our people, and especially our women, and let them know that this is not working.
Well, you know, okay, is somebody else?
Yes, sir. I was going to add. So basically, you're saying we should target youth under the age of what? 16? Under the age of what? 14 now.
13. Other words, you know, in Africa, you had to be able to build a hut by the time you were 13 years old and get married. Now, let's go back to the teachings. What the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. He said that what age should you have finished all of your, even up to the PhD? What age? 18 years old. You don't go to college until you're 18. But Honorable Elijah Muhammad said you should have finished all your undergraduate, master's, and PhD by 18. He's basically telling you, you got to get them young and trained, and then they can start worrying about sex and having children. But they don't worry about having children. They have sex and then have a children that pops up. Oops, baby. Now they got to worry about that. Or they go to abortion, and then they take the baby, the fetus, and they play with the fetus. I'm talking about the Satan. I'm talking about in the experiments, in his laboratories, play with a live fetus. They don't kill them. They take them and experiment on them, something that came out of your body. But it was all because of having fun and games and sex. So when they integrated us with the lower class of white people, the white girls were after the black athletes, and the black girls were told by the white girls you got to put out. So we call our women all these names now, but when I was coming up, it wasn't easy to get underneath a woman's dress. It wasn't easy to even see underneath a woman's dress. But it's easier to get underneath a woman's dress than it was for us to try to take a peek underneath a woman's dress 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's easy. Just have to make them think you got some money. So, yes, we've been put in a terrible situation. But, yes, anybody else call?
No, sir. It's just the three of us that's speaking, that is.
Okay. Well, I'd hope that those truckers, Sister Naimbe, I told her to ask them to be on, to listen in. But again, I'm going to go back to the principal reason why I set this up, is that we have to think in terms of coming together in skill sets, or retirees. Even retirees, you should retire in a skill set to reestablish the guild system so that we can pass on our information to the next generation, and then invest in them. Pool our resources and invest in setting up business and corporations to hire our young people so they would not be used by our enemy to compete against us and even to make weapons against us. You were saying something, sir?
You're making me, yes, sir. You remind me of Brother Farouk. He built his village. And he actually put in facilities, and he's attracting. He put out a call for technologists and scientists to come to his facility to live and work. So that's kind of made me think about what he's planning and what he's trying to do.
Well, hopefully there are more people trying to do that, but that's a great idea. Somebody's got to can do that on more than one time. It's got to be people
that
think in those terms. You know, how do we build society, community? And it's about economics. See, the Jews, they are the ones who tampered with the Bible. They got us locked into the Bible they tampered with. But that's not what they use to run their world. They use mathematics and technology. They use economics is their religion. Their God is money. They made money. And they control people with money. But we don't know money. We don't know economics. We see a bunch of numbers, we go to sleep. Okay? So we have to think more like the Jews. Not as evil as they are, but at least understand, like Mr. Farrakhan said, business is life. Okay? Business is not what you use to make money so you can live. No, business is life itself. That's what you should be about, producing something of good for others, either a physical good or a service that you can render so that you can be useful to the other person and they will trade with you. But not this Jacobian idea that you're going to get somebody to do all the work while you do nothing but eat bonbons and sit up on a damn chair somewhere and dictate. You know, that's that Jacobian stuff. And we, you know, they did that to us, but you're not going to be able to do it to us, black man and woman. People ain't going to take that. Eventually, they're going to rebel and throw your ass out the house. No, we've got to have some mutual reciprocity. I produce, you produce. We trade on a fair scale, not trying to cheat one another.
Right. And we got
now
just 6 minutes left, and someone clicked the button. Can I bring them in?
Yeah, they hit the button.
Caller with the last four digits, 2303. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Brother Terrence. I didn't hit the button. This phone is just acting crazy because I was enjoying the show. I was enjoying what he was talking about. I didn't have no question, but the phone just, you know, the doctor was talking about how the computers be acting crazy and stuff. Well, the phones are acting crazy too. But it's a beautiful show. I enjoyed it, and keep on keeping on. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Well, he's right about the phones. This is his platforms are not made for us to build revolution or build a nation on. Okay, but we have to do as best that we can until we have our own. But listen. You got to come together physically. We cannot think that we're going to be all spread out like this. Listen, The way you slow down a nuclear reaction is that you put rods between the nuclear reaction. In other words, you water it down. You put space between it. You don't let it come together in a synergetic manner and begin to build that heat and power from each other. You separate them. So they got to spread out all over 2,000 by 3,000 miles. And it's difficult to establish an economic entity spread out over 2,000 and 3,000 miles where you either have to go on his roads or you will have to ship stuff in, on his roads by another company. And the companies have multi – a trucking company, they got to have at least 200 trucks to be actually competitive. And many of the trucking companies now are going out of business because the rates, the traffic is slow. The terminal, YRC, that we used to use down here in Albany is gone. The closest one is Dothan, Alabama. So now they drive all the way from Dothan, Alabama to Braunwood to pick up loads in this area. So they don't have one in Albany no more. It's in Dothan, 112 miles away. And this is happening all across the country. It's shrinking. America economically is shrinking, but yet we are all spread apart and we're just going to die unless we don't physically come together in a physical location so that we can support one another's endeavors and build Wakanda. Not just dream about it and talk about it, but actually do it.
That's right.
So thank you very much, Brother Carlton, and for the people listening. We're sorry about the phone. My computer went down on me. But, you know, this is the enemy, and we at war. And we must work through whatever difficulty that's put before us. Because I just can't look at my ancestors and tell them, I just got kind of tired of fighting the enemy. You know?
That's right.
I read this article about what they were doing with our foster children. They was taking them and putting tubes in their stomachs to force feed them experimental drugs. And so whenever I think about getting tired and quitting, I think about that child who was force-fed experimental drugs and eventually died a horrible death because they're planning different type of biological weapons against us. So I can't get tired. I can't get frustrated to the point that I quit. I just keep moving and pushing. I might step on some toes. I might break some nose. But I'm not going to let it go, inshallah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, and may Allah bless y'all. Have a great day. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum as-salam, sir.
Alaykum as-salam.